Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90 exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hello, everyone. Welcome in on this Thursday afternoon. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Sello, Matt Scraby, Gwynn, and Chris. A little subdued today. Sorry, I'm not feeling the greatest. But got 2 hours.
You were you sparked up a little bit when we told you that it was only 2 hours.
Yeah, I know. That
was one bit of good news.
That
you
definitely
had.
Made me feel a little bit better.
Yeah.
We've got a round table for you at 4.
Right.
And then we have our draft coverage
with all of our experts.
Braden Soprenant. That's Matt Scraby.
Braden Soprenant. That's our expert.
Okay.
Yeah, that's
right,
it.
Fair enough.
Scraby and I are along for the ride.
What am I doing here then?
Well, you're along for the ride.
I am
me.
A draft expert.
Okay. Well, for tonight you will be.
Okay, good. A draft expert.
So
I know that Shedeur Sanders is being predicted to go to the Steelers at this point.
Is that right?
The odds makers out there.
That's the latest. I think there's a good chance he won't get drafted in the first round at all, unless somebody trades up into the first round to get him. But that's for later on.
Yes, save that
for later on.
The hard-hitting coverage.
We will have hard-hitting coverage. Yes.
Padres day off. 2-4 on the road trip. We covered a lot of this during the roundtable. You get to hear it, as I said, at 4. But 2-4 on the road trip. Come home. You got really a quick homestand. Three coming up here against Tampa, and then another off day Monday, and then two against the Giants.
Which is finally a team in our division, at least, thanks to the Major League stupid schedule.
It is pretty stupid.
Well, I should correct that. They did play the Rockies, but I don't count the Rockies. I don't want people yelling.
They aren't accountable, apparently.
Right.
Where was I going with that?
Well, it's a short.
Short, yeah. And then we turn around.
And then back to the road.
A long one. Pittsburgh, Yankees, Rockies.
Ooh, so 6 games and then 3 exhibition games.
It might be
at the end.
There's 2 off days in there somewhere as well. So
yeah,
we'll see. Hopefully, this Padres happy to be home. I can tell you that though.
I think the major thing, and we talked about it as you said at length in the roundtable today. Despite them going 2-4, we did go around the room and everybody gave their letter grade for the first 25 games of the season. And they got straight A's, and I don't think. Well,
there was one dissenter, very hard teacher professor that
one
decided not to give them an
right.
A.
One professor said B plus. We won't tell you who that was, Scraby.
I actually thought I was going to be like
that's what
too
I thought because you went first and you said B plus.
I thought
then,
people can go B and everybody goes A and it makes me look like the
makes
jerk.
You look like the
you
jerk.
You kind of are the doomer sometimes. You're the doomer of this group.
Well, I think it was a fair grade. I mean, I don't think you can say if you're kind of an outsider and new to the station, well, you're the Padres station. They pay you guys. They don't pay us. But
that's a tired argument.
Right. That old thing. We don't do that.
No.
I mean, we are as critical as anybody and often are critical. But I don't see how you can give them anything but an A. They have one of the best records in the league. They're on pace to win 102 games, which is, probably not that likely because it's hard to keep up this pace. But based on that, the pitching has been incredible. They won some exciting ball games. And, you know, the last 2 weeks, they're not just hurt, Tony. They've got four opening day starters on the disabled list or injured list, and a fifth in Jason Hayward, who didn't start opening day but is normally a starter. So most teams are not going to be successful with five, you know, key players on the injured list, and that doesn't include Yu Darvish, by the way, who would make it a sixth.
Right.
So, I think they're doing okay. They came up empty yesterday, but as I said yesterday, the fact that they were able to squeeze out a couple of wins on that trip was important based on where they are right now.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And, you know, it's for the Padres. Let me get my ear thing. This is, here we go, both of them. For the Padres, I think that,
there goes the computer.
It's really going to turn, the onus now is going to fall on the pitching. Right, because what are you missing? Cronenworth, you're missing Arise,
Merrill.
You're missing Merrill. I mean, those are three pretty big pieces that kind of make the offense what it is.
Yeah,
and the pitching's been phenomenal. They're gonna have to shoulder some of the load at least until you get Luis back, which kind of changes the top of the lineup in kind of a major way. Right, Gavin Sheets has had to slide up from the middle of the lineup to hitting second. While Luis has been out. And so just merely getting that
and
one piece
back. And you could use
back,
another guy in the middle of the lineup.
For sure. Yeah. And so just getting that one piece back, how it affects the lineup and the length of it, you start getting two and three pieces back, you see the type of offense we had. And so
we do have a better offense than the one that was in there yesterday and even the day before. I mentioned this.
For sure.
The 4, 5, 6 hitters for the Padres combined for no home runs.
Yeah.
How many teams feel that in the middle of a season, even though we're 5 weeks in? Those are your middle meat of the order guys. But and needless to say, the 7, 8, 9 guys didn't have any home runs either until Diaz hit one on Tuesday. But, yes, when Arise comes back, then you get Gavin Sheets in the middle. And, obviously, when Jackson comes back, you get him in the middle and Jake. So this lineup, I think, is fine. It's not perfect.
No,
it's not. But it's fine to me. Look, what they had was getting the job done and then some based on the kind of pitching they have. They don't need, you know, to bash it for 10 runs a game.
Right. You know what was happening earlier was that you had the production at the top.
Yeah.
Manny was doing this. Gavin and Manny in the middle. And then the bottom was kind of when you needed a big hit, somebody at the bottom was doing something to help or to get on. And then Toddy could come up, do his thing. And so, you know, and that's why I say ultimately during this stretch, I don't know how many more days Luis has on there.
I think it's seven would make it Sunday, I think,
so
right? He got hurt on Sunday.
At least until Sunday.
Yeah.
The pitching is going to have to really keep the pace that they've been, especially at home where they've been almost unhittable.
Go ahead.
Tony, do you have any indication on whether or not Jax Merrill's going to come back this weekend? Just, you know, for fantasy lineups and things like that.
First of all, you're trying to get me in trouble.
Oh,
you know they're not going to give this information out.
I tried to sneak it in there.
That was a real good sneak. But
he will be back in the lineup the day that you click on MLB lineups and his name appears.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. I need to go to MLBlineups.com.
Well, the Padres aren't going to tell you, and just like they didn't tell you that he was really hurt.
Listen,
I mean, they basically said it was a day-to-day thing. It's now been 17 days today, or whatever.
I think any hamstring injury, you're hopeful that it's day-to-day.
Right.
But you're prepared that it's going to be longer.
And it has been.
Yeah. I don't know the time. We've been gone for, what, seven days?
Yep.
Yeah, we left last Wednesday.
Yep.
I don't know the type of progress he made in that time because he wasn't on the trip. And so
that's right. You wouldn't know.
I wouldn't know. And so, listen, guys can make a lot of progress. They can make small progress with this hamstring thing. I would be surprised if he was back.
Doesn't sound like
for
it.
The weekend.
Doesn't sound like
be.
It. Let me ask you this from a playing perspective, as somebody who probably played with a pulled hamstring or couldn't play with one at this level. You're playing center field in the big leagues, which is what he's doing. It's what you did. How healthy does your hamstring need to be for you to be in there? 100%? Can you get away with a little tug? I mean, we're talking about maybe having to chase a ball, you know, into the gap, but you don't want to take a chance.
You want to.
So how healthy does he have to get?
You got to. Your hamstring has to be able to withstand. It doesn't have to be 100%, okay. But it has to be able to withstand the workload. Anytime you get a pull, you run the risk of having a setback. So you're trying to avoid any type of grab when you're out. And so, you know, I'd say
you
gotta
be. So how do you test it? Is it sprinting?
So
do you have to get to the point where you're sprinting somewhere?
The test that they used to do, I don't know if they still do it. I think they still do.
Okay.
You know, the outside cut of the grass, of the infield dirt. So the back line of the infield dirt.
Okay.
You usually, to test that, you usually have to run that from line to line.
Line to line.
And that's the only thing that, outside of running the bases.
And running it fairly hard.
Exactly. Okay. That simulates the type of torque you're going to have to put on that hamstring. And so, I tell you, from my own experience, I had this injury in 2008. It was going to be my first opportunity to, because I think I told the story, Mike Cameron was suspended 25 games. So I had the first 25 to myself.
Yeah, boy.
Opening day in Chicago.
Yeah, you're all excited.
I had a great first game. Get off second game. Third game, I doubled the start, but I pulled my hamstring in the on-deck circle. Like, I felt it pop. And I was like, oh, no, we're not coming out of this game. And so I get the double. I get the second. I score the next play off of Ricky. After Ricky's single, I think it was, Ricky Weeks. I come in. And, like, the moment I sat down, it just got tighter and tighter. And to the point where I knew I couldn't run. I couldn't go back out. And that was beginning of the season. I wasn't healthy fully into the end of the season.
I have actually pulled my hamstring before, and it's very painful. It's not something that just goes away.
It doesn't.
Especially, you can feel it.
Especially doing what Jackson's going to do.
Sprinting, stopping,
and
starting.
So, now, that being said, I had a bunch of setbacks in that process of getting healthy. Why did I have these setbacks? Because I kept trying to come back too soon.
Too early.
And so what you have to trust that they're taking the time on this, that they don't want that to happen. Because you have a setback, it's a setback. You're going to be out for even longer. Yeah. And so
it's still April, so we don't really need to hurry right now, even though we want to hurry.
To answer your question, I say you got to be at least 70. And you have to actually know how to
manage it.
Right, because that is the hardest part of having this injury, is knowing when is not the time to try to do too much.
For the diving catch or something. You got to let one fall in.
You got to. If you want to be out there. And listen, him at 70% is better than a lot of dudes in this league. And so take your time, Jackson. Get healthy, because this hamstring thing can be the type of thing that lingers all year if you don't take care of it.
Let me add one thing to what you said. Take your time, Jackson, but hurry.
Let's get to break.
My fantasy lineup needs a Jackson.
Okay.
Two hours of Gwen and Chris, an hour of Round Table, and then that hard-hitting draft coverage by these guys. Chris Ello, Matt Scraby, Braden Soprinit, the NFL expert. A little later on. More Gwen and Chris on the other side, though.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we started together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Real quick, did you see the bottom line there?
I did not.
Did you see Seager? See, he's out.
Corey Seager's got the hamstring. I saw him grab it the other day.
This is 3-4 years in a row he's had a hamstring.
So maybe it's never healed.
And I'm just saying, if it's not, if you don't have, if you don't take care of it, or you have some imbalances where that is big, it's something that could just plague you. Corey Seager's one of the best players in the league. He hasn't played a full, close to a full season in so long because of a hamstring.
Yeah.
Padres can't afford to not have a guy like Jackson for
long stints, right? With Jackson Merrill. There's one thing we do know about Corey Seager.
Corey!
he gave the baseball fans a tremendous performance.
I'm convinced Rob Manfred, after his comments about the Dodgers and how the Dodgers fans can just go buy Angels tickets if they want to see affordable baseball in Southern California.
He sure has a way with words.
He does not care about his own sport. He doesn't.
Did he really say that?
Yeah, he told, because someone
Dodger
asked him
fans
about
are
it.
Saying we can't afford tickets, so Rod Manfred said, we'll go to Angel games.
Yeah, they're down the street.
Like, what?
They have some good players over there, too.
Yeah, go see them.
You can't make this stuff up.
No.
Bro.
Piece of metal.
My mind wouldn't even think of that. So we can't make it up.
Piece of metal.
I'm convinced he does not care about the sport.
Well,
we do.
Maybe he's thinking about retirement. I don't know.
He's getting close. He's getting close. Padres start play a game up on the Giants and Dodgers. 2.5 up on Arizona. The NL West has been all that so far this season. And as mentioned, the Rays are coming to town, Tampa Bay Rays. But the secretive Tampa Bay Rays have not announced a single pitcher yet for this weekend series. So we'll have to ferret all that out in the next day or so. But 5-game homestand with those two key games against the Giants next week. Next Tuesday night, and I think it would be a sellout anyway because everybody wants to see the Giants games. But Tony Gwynn bobblehead night. The rookie bobblehead will be given away next Tuesday night. Scraby and I were talking about this, Tony. First 40,000. Normally you would say, okay, everybody gets a bobblehead.
Yeah,
they're going to have to get there a little early or a lot early to make sure you get one next Tuesday night.
There's going to be some upset folks to pull up 40,001.
Don't want to be that guy.
There's going to be a fight over this bobblehead. Someone is going to fight over this bobblehead. This might be the most popular one of the year.
It's going to be very popular. I thought the Jackson Merrill one was quite popular earlier, but I can't tell the Padres how or what to do. They need to do what they need to do. But is there any way to make a few thousand more? Just to make sure everybody gets one, because what I'm saying this is for their own benefit. Because how many mean phone calls are they going to get the next day from people who don't get one?
Well, then they should have showed up to the park early enough.
Well, that'll be the answer, but I don't know that that's going to appease somebody who came from Alpine to get a Tony Gwynn bobblehead and didn't make it in time.
I mean,
I'm just saying.
People complain about weird things.
They complain about everything, and a bobblehead that you don't get. That's something they'll certainly complain about. Just trying to save the headache.
I get it. But it's also a nice little ruse to try to get people into the park before the game starts, because baseball is one of those games where a lot of people show up after it's already started. So.
Well, that won't be happening next Tuesday night. We can be sure about that. Dodgers fell to the Cubs. Back-to-back
PCA.
Yeah. I want to bring this up. Look, the Dodgers lose 11-10, and then the next game 7-6, and they go bullpen day. Blake Snell has said he's not really ready to pitch anytime soon. They're kind of shutting him down, waiting for Kershaw, waiting on a couple of other guys. It's interesting how dominant a team can appear. And look, they're still just a game behind. But they haven't been that unbeatable team. Remember, they started 8-0. They are 8-9 since then. So they've been a very, mediocre club for a couple of weeks. When that happens around here, people panic pretty good, Tony. Just a little reminder, baseball's not that easy, even for, the big, bad, mighty Dodgers.
Listen, I know that because we're only 25 games into the season that this could be just a, you know, a blip.
A fugazi?
A fugazi. but I do find it interesting. The amount of irritation, anger there was to all of the Dodgers signings over the offseason.
Yes.
And I remember us all saying, at the end of the day, you still got to go out and actually play these games.
We tried to remind people. They weren't listening.
All types of things could happen, and of course, injuries. And remember, they were, at one point, these guys were 10 deep starting pitching.
I know.
They have three guys right now.
I know. They had to do a bullpen. They don't even have anybody for their fifth starting spot right now.
So, like, this is, listen, it's a luxury to have that kind of money and be able to stockpile and listen. Assuming they can get all these guys healthy and back to normal, they'll be loaded again at some point. But you still got to go out and execute 27 outs and find a way to score one more run than the other team. Yeah. And, you know, that's going to be their challenge when they face the Padres as well.
I think we should also point out that Shohei Ohtani, otherwise known as the greatest player in the history of the game, is 7 for his last 42.
We have a big 5 question about it today.
Okay,
go ahead.
I'm just adding. I mean, he's gone hitless in 5 of his last 8 games. Now,
welcome to baseball.
Thank you. But if Xander Bogaerts, God forbid, goes 7 for 42, the dumbest thing ever was signing him. And so I'd like to mention this stuff because it happens to other teams, not just the Padres. I know it's more frustrating when it happens to the Padres. But it happens throughout baseball. Mike Trout's hitting .177. I mean, April can do that to a lot of guys. So, you know, you hang with it a little bit when you understand that.
You have to. I mean, listen, all of us have been watching baseball seasons unfold for a long time. And every year there are stories like that. Very rarely does a team go wire to wire, no issues.
Nobody ever slumps.
Nobody slumps. Right. Those are when you get like the record-setting years for a team. But by most years, it unfolds exactly like this. There's going to be some turns. There's going to be some drop-offs. There's going to be some just red-hot heaters going on. It's part of it. So, again, I would advise just go week to week.
I can do that. I can do week to week.
And
because it literally can change from week to week.
True that. Matt Chapman just homered to get the Giants a little closer, 5-4 up there in San Francisco.
Jungle Lee is a pretty good player.
I've been watching him.
So is Wilmer Flores. I don't know where he became Babe Ruth all of a sudden, but Wilmer's been hot. You know, just another to jump on your point about everybody screaming in the offseason. Corbin Burns signed with Arizona. What? That's so unfair. They've already got Zach Gallen. They've already got this, that, and the other. Who needs the Diamondbacks to be better? Well, right now Corbin Burns is 0-1 with a 4.64.
Right.
Would you rather have him or Nick Pavetta so far?
I think the answer is pretty easy.
I think it's pretty obvious. So, yeah. And that doesn't mean Burns by the end won't be back in the running for another Cy Young. But as Tony said, you can sign Corbin Burns. He's still got to go out and pitch, get the job done, and he hasn't been doing it so far. So, and Blake Snell signed by the Dodgers. He's hurt right now. He's only started 2 games. Turns out,
what's the other kid? Sasaki? Like
he hasn't been great by any stretch.
You know,
yeah. So, I mean, I find it interesting that you know AJ Preller was the laying in the weeds guy this time. And right now, it's paying off.
He's always
big
laying in the
time.
Weeds.
Well, that's true.
No matter what he does, he's laying in the weeds.
But usually strikes often.
Right.
This time, he didn't strike until the very end of free agency. And so far, I think he's got the best free agent. There might be somebody hitting better that I don't know about. But right now, you can't. It's hard to be better than. Pavetta's been so far.
You know that I love going to Reddit pages of teams and looking at what the fans are saying.
Is that what you do?
Yeah, I love it. It makes me happy.
I didn't know that you were doing this.
Real quick, Roky Sasaki does not yet have a win.
So he's 0-2.
He's, five starts.
0-4.
Five starts. Two. No victories.
T-O-O.
Right. T-O-O. Thank you.
So there you go. Yeah.
But the Dodgers fans are kind of complaining. I'm like, that is crazy. That is crazy if you're going to complain about how
it's not that crazy.
It's not any crazier than the guy in Philadelphia asking John Kruk if the season's over.
That guy knows what he's doing, and he still asks a bad question.
John Kruk is hilarious. You can't tee him up like that.
No.
He was ready with that answer. Well, they got 125 games. It's going to be really tough to make up these three games.
He's already a smartass as it is.
That's right.
You can't throw the lob to him like that.
That was So, anyway, yeah, it's still early, but I think it's been great early for the Padres, despite the road trip where, they didn't quite get out of there. They didn't weren't able to get the back to the 500. 2-4 road trip, first losing trip of the season. NBA playoffs continue tonight. We haven't had you much this week yet, Tony. So I do want to ask you about the Lakers game one to game two and what you saw and what changed. I was kind of, I don't want to say critical, but it seemed weird to me that it's J.J. Redick had to give him the fire him up speech for game two, whereas I don't understand why they weren't up to that level for game one.
When did he give him a fire him up speech?
Well, he got a lot of credit for them
he
winning
did.
Game two.
Oh, well, that was – okay, so let me – I watched it. I'll explain what happened there. They were up pretty much all game, and this was like the first time that – who are they playing?
Minnesota. Yeah.
That the T-Wolves cut it to single digits.
Okay.
And so he called a play, and it just seemed like there was some confusion. So he called timeout, and he proceeded, and the mics caught it all.
Okay.
He proceeded to undress all of them, like, basically, what the are we doing out here? Get your together.
Okay.
And so then from that point on, they went on an 8-0 run, and then they put it away.
I know LeBron said afterwards that we're kind of used to him doing something like that.
He snapped. Yeah. I thought he was snapping at one individual, but when you listen back, he was snapping at everybody. But that being said, I've realized watching game ones, a lot of overreactions to game one wins or losses.
No, in a 7-game series, that will happen 7 times. You lose the first game. Now that they won the second game, they're back in control.
Right.
Wait till they lose the third game. It'll be ready to fire everybody again.
Right.
That's how that works in the NBA playoffs. But Lakers are even. The Clippers are also even, and they play Denver tonight.
What a performance by Mr. Kawhi.
Proud to be an Aztec watching that one. 15-19, 39 points. Incredible.
This might be the only – no, we got to get it right. This might be the only time I'm rooting for the Clippers, because they will be in line to take on the Oklahoma City Thunder. And
they will give them hell.
I think that'll be a tough matchup for Oklahoma.
Kawhi Leonard, we got a break. And I'll tell you on the other side. More Gwen and Chris headed your way.
Hey, parents, here's a message from Coach Kurt with Frozen Ropes. Is your child 6 to 12 years old? Our Baseball Summer League is the perfect fit for your player starting June 16th through August 17th. Summer League includes 8 practices, 8 games. Register by April 30th and save $50. Go to SanDiegoFrozenRopes.com. You guys had an interesting conversation about
Steve McMichael.
The shuffle and
the Super Bowl shuffle. Yeah, that
now,
was fun.
That
yesterday.
Was an interesting conversation you guys had. Now you got somebody forwarded you a tweet.
Well, they tweeted me a video.
I tweeted you a video.
Which it was a video from 20-some-odd years ago. And this is when McMichael and the Bears were famous. And, of course, you remember. I don't know that they still do that. But when Harry Carey was
they still have special guests do it.
Okay,
yeah.
So some guy came. They always had a celebrity or somebody come in and sing the Take Me Out to the Ball Game. Steve McMichael grabs the microphone, and before he starts singing, he goes, "Don't worry, everybody. I'll take care of that umpire after that home plate umpire after the game." Now, evidently, there had been a couple of calls that went against the Cubs. The crowd went crazy. The umpire was Angel Hernandez, of course. And that was the tweet. There's like, Steve McMichael knew about Angel Hernandez before the rest of us. So he called him out in Wrigley Field. Of course, he was kicked out of the game.
I'm sure Angel did not take too kindly.
Oh, I don't think he was happy with
that.
Now, I don't know how he got kicked out, but I'm sure some security had to come find him. Or
I mean,
he might have just walked out.
The good thing about a place like Chicago, especially if you're a guy like that, chances are security may come up and say, "Hey, you got to exit." But unless Angel's willing to hold the game up until you leave, until he gets word,
right?
There ain't really much he's going to be able to do.
Yeah, Steve McMichael, is he was pretty well-beloved there in Chicago, so I'd imagine even the security guards didn't want to give him too hard of a time. But
Angel Hernandez is in mid-season form.
Yeah. Hey, Blue! Oh, that's my favorite part of it. That's my favorite. Listen to the end.
Angel Hernandez is in mid-season form.
Whoa, Blue! That's a spring training call right there.
That was a moment. For sure. So what do you think, Tony, about the Lakers and the Minnesota? You gave me a little rundown. In game one, Minnesota hit 21 threes. In game two, they hit five.
That's why I wasn't as concerned as a lot of my Laker
brethren.
Brethren were. Because there's no way they're going to shoot 50% or better again from the three-point land. Shooting that many.
And they didn't come close.
And so I just feel like the Lakers locked it in on defense. It's the lowest amount of points the T-Wolves scored all year. And I just think that we have the superior team. They got one super guy. Lakers got a couple.
Yeah, Minnesota's really, I mean, it's not that Ant-Man does it all by himself, but when it comes, push comes to shove, he's got to have
the ball. He's by himself, yeah.
And the Lakers can go to, you know, Luka. I've not seen him play enough until he got to the Lakers. I mean, you'd watch the odd Dallas game. Watching him every single night, you appreciate how great he is even more. They put Gobert on him. Well, they don't put Gobert. They switch
searching,
him.
He's searching that mismatch out.
He gets Gobert on him.
Poor
and
guy.
And then he goes into the lane, and he does, I don't know how many moves before he puts up the shot.
There is nothing
and
more.
Gobert can't. He's jumping up. He's jumping up. He's jumping up. He doesn't know what to do. And Luka's just toying with him.
It looks like somebody on ice.
Right.
But there's no ice out there.
Yeah.
The move where he faked the pass and Gobert went looking for it and then shot. That's a problem.
Yeah, it's a problem for Minnesota. Now, the other thing, though, I think for the Lakers is the little concern is the Minnesota bench. Again, they scored 43 in the first game. They scored 19 in the second game. Yeah. But the Laker bench isn't giving them much.
They're not.
So when the benches are in there, the Lakers need to hang with them. They can't let it run away like they did in game one.
Especially since they are now about to go to their building
where bench
their
guys
bench
play
guys
better.
Are going to play better.
Right.
So
good point.
Vincent has got to play better. Who else is coming off the bench? Right. Finney Smith got to play better.
Yeah. That's pretty much it for the Lakers. They're not really bringing a lot of guys in there.
Yeah.
Maybe
they need to give my man from Tennessee
connect a little run. Yeah,
but that's the thing. The thing that stands out to me with JJ is if you're not going to play any defense, he's not going to play you. If you're a liability, he's
fair.
Not going to play you.
I think it's
he's
fair.
Just not.
I think the Lakers got a big break last night. It could turn into a big break. They didn't play last night, but the Warriors lost, and Jimmy Butler got hurt.
Yeah,
he left in the first quarter.
Tailbone. Huh?
He's getting an MRI. We haven't seen results from this yet.
It looked like it hurt.
All right, I'm sure it did. He missed the rest of the game.
I didn't see any of the game when I turned it on. I was like, man, they're getting their butt kicked. Yeah. And then I couldn't find Jimmy. Well, I was like, oh.
Draymond kind of pushed the guy into Jimmy coming down.
Undercut the guy, but not on purpose.
I saw all of game one, and I saw parts of game two. I can't imagine I'd ever say this. I think the officials are letting that series be too physical.
Too physical.
Like, my man Peyton went to the basket yesterday and went to take off, and my man, I promise you, just took it with his leg, just swept kicked him, and he hit the floor before he took off. No foul.
Yeah.
Steve Kerr immediately called timeout and like went to chewing on an official.
But I'm not at that level. But if you've got Draymond on one side and Dylan the Villain on the other, it seems like you better call it a little tighter.
Yeah.
It's only a matter of time before those guys just face off
and
like it's a boxing match.
Yes, 100%.
So, but that's 1-1. But the reason I said the Lakers got a break is if Golden State can't get through this series because Butler misses it, I think the Lakers, if they win, much better chance to beat a young Houston team, although talented, then Golden State, who's got all that experience in a playoff. What do you think?
I don't know if I'm concerned.
Because remember how good Golden State's record was with Butler.
No, it was.
So
Lakers beat them once, lost to them once with Butler.
With Butler.
I'll say this. I think I don't know if it's concern, but I certainly have my antennas up. Bron has had to, like, work to get 21, I think he got last game. I think he had 17 the first game. Those aren't the type of numbers I'm used to seeing.
Usually from 30-plus,
from
right?
LeBron. Mm. And so, you know, I think with the beauty about LeBron is he's realized Luka needs the ball and he's going to have to find different ways. But there is a part of me that's like wondering, like, man, he is 40 years old. Like, is
and it is the end of a long season,
right?
even though they allow him to sit out.
And I say that because a young Rockets team that's going to be getting up and down the court.
Well, they have talent. We know how
physical they're playing, trying to match Golden State. That would concern me a little bit. Well, but either way, they got to face one of the two anyway.
Yes,
so.
They do. That both those series, I think, have been good. The Denver Clippers have been good.
That's been great.
I took a shot at Jokic yesterday. I think this guy on the offensive end is about as great of a center as you could ever have. I mean, that includes Kareem. It includes Olajuwon. It includes because he can pass.
He's smart.
Incredible.
So smart.
He's so gifted. But I still don't see him guard anybody.
No. And Zubac is having his way.
Zubac's doing whatever he wants. And I was thinking to myself, now Scraby was thinking of something different, I think. But I said if Kareem ever faced Jokic,
it would be a
joke. Kareem would score 70 points. He would get whatever he wanted.
See, I don't think that is true.
But it is.
It is true.
Because Kareem is the unstoppable force.
He is, but that was the thing. He had that sky hook.
Sky hook, nobody could get to it.
You couldn't defend it.
You couldn't get to it.
You can't score 70 points on a skyhook.
He could literally score 70 points on a skyhook.
Kareem was unstoppable, as was Olajuwon, who had about 20 moves, none of which Jokic could keep up with.
Yeah.
I bring this up because he's
not a great defender.
I think he's a great player, but you're everybody's exalting him as, you know, he's going to win his fourth MVP maybe. I think you ought to be able to guard somebody if you're the MVP of the league.
I think that's part of the reason why this series is tied. Aside from Kawhi doing his thing, which I think everybody knows when he's healthy, he does.
Yeah.
Zubac is like, he's the difference maker in that series. Because on one end, although Joker's doing his thing, he's also having to work on the defensive end as Zubac is getting...
But he's not working. He's just letting Zubac go in and lay the ball in. I mean, I don't know. I think was Tyronn Lue?
Tyronn Lue, yeah.
Tyronn, yes. I think he's smart. He knows. Go at it.
Yeah.
Joker. He gets
not everybody has a center that can actually do it.
True.
Clippers do have
in this
one.
Day and age. Yeah, because Jokic gets steals, but he gets them because he's off his man, stealing it somewhere else.
He's in the passing lanes.
If you put him under pressure, I think you can have success.
Real quick, I wanted to share this with you because I don't know if you guys saw it yet. It has to do with the NBA. All the Smoke, I thought this was like one of the better things I saw today. All the Smoke had Reggie Miller on as their guest today. They kind of released some footage of it. And Reggie Miller he was on that team where the Malice in the Palace happened.
Okay.
It's one of his last two or three
years. The
Ron
Artest game.
And that team was supposed to be the team that went all the way. And so Steven Jackson, who was a part of that team, this is the first time he's gotten to actually talk to Reggie in this kind of intimate way. And he basically apologized to him for, you know, being a part of ruining the opportunity.
What year was that? Do you know?
It was in 2000. I was in the fall.
So it was after Jordan had moved on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This was his year. This was the year that they had the chance to do it. I think it was 2004.
Yep, it was.
Because I was in the Arizona Fall League. I remember coming home from one of the games and like looking at the TV and I'm like, couldn't believe what I was actually seeing in real time.
It was pretty crazy.
And so it was crazy to see Reggie Miller like get like choked up. Because, you know, aside from that time, remember, he was on a bunch of teams that kept losing to Michael Jordan.
Or to Patrick Ewing.
And he never got over the hump. And you can see that it like, is how you know he cared about winning.
Reggie Miller's on the Dan Marino team.
Yeah,
he's one of the greatest players who played on great teams, but they never won. And there are a lot of them in sports. We think about all the ones that win. But there are a lot of them that come really close and don't. Speaking of Malice in the Palace.
Do you guys know who the referee was, by the way? Well, of that game?
Probably more than one.
Well, there was, but there's one very...
Angel Hernandez doing
the NBA? No, he was not doing the NBA.
Oh.
Tim Donaghy.
Oh, was he?
On the,
refereeing that game.
The Malice in the Palace? That's funny. Barkley had another classic line the other night. Well, there's two things that happened on that show, Tony, that need to be pointed out.
Shaq having to use a bathroom.
Shaq having to use
that
the
was
bathroom.
Great.
Unbelievable.
He did. He just tried to sneak off like the cameras weren't going to follow him.
Okay, as he's going off, Charles goes, make sure you bring some matches. I mean, Charles has the
make
line
sure
every time.
You bring it.
I mean, but that wasn't the one line. The other line that I loved was they showed, I think it was Milwaukee and Indiana, somebody, you know, wrestled the ball down and a player fell on the floor. I think it was Siakam. Siakam got up and kind of bodied up to the player, and they pushed a little bit. Are you watching Shaq run off the...
Yeah, I'm going to put it up on the screen.
You got to put that up for people to see. So they show the highlight of them pushing and shoving, and then they break it up, and they come back, and Charles goes, and you guys call all that fighting. Because that's what they refer to it now.
Right.
Back
right.
in the day, the benches emptied, and the actual people threw punches.
There was actual fisticuffs.
Yeah, so... Things have changed a little in the NBA. But I'm enjoying the playoffs. I know the NBA didn't have a great, or to a lot of people maybe, it didn't have a great season. But I think the playoffs are great, and
playoffs
I'm enjoying the
great.
Games. So, fun to watch because they play some, you know, they guard you.
And the refs,
you know they're going to get
effort. And the refs let it get a little more physical.
And you get some game. So it's fun to watch these guys play because this really is the highest level. During the regular season, you're never sure. One team might be up, one might be down. One might be tired from traveling. One might be in a little injured. They get to the playoffs. Everybody's giving it their best shot, and I like that.
I got the video. Here it is. It's hilarious.
You got
the other
see
thing
the...
about Kawhi is you know
Shaq's
I,
getting up.
You all right, big fella? Yeah, no. Catching a crack.
He said no.
Hang on.
Look at the bottle.
Keep talking, Jeff. Yeah, we're on TV. No, we're going to go ahead. Yeah, that's that olive oil you've been drinking.
No. Hey, take some matches with you.
Hey, listen, he couldn't hold it.
Oh, my goodness. And then they follow him to the bathroom, basically.
Charles is unbelievable.
Turn me up. There you go. One of the better parts of that, too, is when as Shaq is rolling to the bathroom, I think Kenny says, hey, make sure you turn his mic off.
That's a great
you
point, Kenny.
Naked, you get the Naked Gun thing. Remember that
no,
scene in the
right.
Naked Gun?
That's right.
Where he went to the restroom and his mic was on still?
This happened to me early on in my radio career. I wasn't in charge of it, so it wasn't my mistake. But someone went into a bathroom with their lavalier on, and they caught everything on the lavalier.
It's all bad.
I'm kind of glad Shaq did that, to be honest with you. Because now I believe the rest of us
can
find it, you know, okay. If you really have to go in the middle of a segment, you just go.
I mean, there's been...
If Shaq can do it, we all can do it now.
There's been only maybe one time in our show's history where I was like, guys, I got a stomach ache.
I think it's happened to each of us at least.
I may run out of here at any moment.
It's had to have happened.
It's happened to at least once.
All right.
But it's a bad feeling, though, when you're on the air and you're like, uh-oh. This is not good.
Not a good feeling.
This is not good.
Ruh-roh.
Make sure you take some matches.
But Shaq has now made it okay. Just to excuse yourself. Just jog out of the room.
He said, go on, y'all keep talking.
He wasn't jogging. No, he was waddling.
He was waddling.
He was doing the waddle.
Yeah.
Do you think they have to retrofit a bathroom for Shaq?
I hope not.
Retrofit?
You mean like taller toilets? Because
they have to.
He wouldn't be able to.
There's no way he sits on a regular toilet. Charles is only 6'6".
That's really tall people things right there. I never even crossed my mind until
never
you just
crossed
said that.
My mind. But here's what did cross my mind. When we used to travel with the basketball, they, you know, when you didn't have the NBA version of, you know, these private planes, you fly commercial. You try to get the 6'11", 7-foot guys in the exit row so they have a little leg room. But I never thought about that. If they still have to use the restroom during the flight.
You know, it's funny.
We can't even fit into one of those restrooms.
You know,
how's the 7-footer going to do it?
Well, they probably make the same decision that most athletes do. They're not going to use the bathroom like that on a flight.
Setting,
I will say this. We've stayed at a couple new spots this year that – it's particularly in Sacramento where the NBA teams stay. Taller shower heads.
Okay.
Longer beds. Like, typically I could...
Sensible.
I can almost get my feet towards the end of the bed. And I guess one had like about, you know...
A couple
more feet left.
When we went to spring training, I had the... handicap room and everything.
I usually get
the shower was
too,
really
sometimes.
Tough because I had to basically sit down to get the water, which is fine. But yeah, it was a little tough.
I want to address something while we have a minute on the Padres. Mike Lupica, do anybody know who this is? He's a very well-renowned sports writer from the East Coast.
Did he used to be on the show where, yes. on ESPN? Yeah, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
The Writers Roundtable.
Right, yeah.
He's very well-respected. He used to write for the New York Daily News when that was a big deal. Now he's a contributor to MLB.com. And the headline in his article, now this isn't his fault because he doesn't write the headline, but it's his story. The headline in the article on MLB.com today says, Pete Alonso is running circles around the competition for MVP. You know, I just want to remind people that Fernando is out here playing. Pete Alonso is having a very good start to the season. The Mets are having a very good start to the season. But I don't like when I get East Coast articles and then they put them on a national stage. And you got to at least mention the fact that Fernando's off to a fairly good start himself. Fair yeah,
I
or not?
I mean, it's definitely fair. I just don't get irritated anymore.
Okay.
Because they've been doing this for as long as I can remember.
Good point.
They don't, you know, especially Mike, I'm sure at this stage in his life, he's not staying up to watch these Padre games. No matter
then don't write the article.
You know, well. And so... You're probably right. He probably should, or at least stay up to watch a Fernando play a little bit.
Or go to YouTube and type in highlights from last night.
Well, I think what happens is people like that who, you know, have been doing it a long time and are really good at it, they want to be thorough in what they're talking about. And so YouTube clips ain't going to cut it for him. He's going to have to stay up till 1 a.m. to finish a game.
Yeah,
I don't know if that's in his.
And
the
I don't want to take it away from Lupica's. From Alonso, he's having a really good start, and I would think those would be the top two at the moment. One on the East Coast, one on the West Coast. And it's April, so it's way too early, right, to be talking about this anyway. But it just frustrates me because we see this all the time.
It frustrates me too, Chris.
I'm sorry about that, but I'm just speaking for all of us out here.
Thank you.
Would like to see Fernando judged the way he should be at the moment.
I tell you this.
Even though he shouldn't have stole third base the other day, Scraby, and you took a beating on the show for that, the roundtable for that stance.
Oh, I don't
as
know
well.
Ball.
Even if
you don't know ball.
You don't.
When did,
on that
can
one,
I,
you don't.
I do have a serious question.
Yes.
I know we got, when did it become just ball?
Because
that literally can be basketball, football,
well, I think
golf.
In Scraby's case, it is ball. He doesn't know any of that.
He got you like that.
I didn't even set myself up. I just love it how people react to some of my things. They're like, man, you are the biggest idiot on the radio.
The thing is, they don't even really care that much.
I know. That's I know. And then I read it, and I'm like... And then they go on with their life.
We got a Daily Gambit coming your way. Next, we're going to Chris.